This is HDN.
It's September 11th.
Ooh.
9/11.
Yes, it is.
The big one, the anniversary.
Yeah, was it
13 years ago today. Now, where were you when the towers fell? That's the question.
Mm.
That's the question a lot of people are going to be asking. And, you know, pretty soon, there are going to be a lot of people who go, oh, I wasn't around. I mean, seriously, this
That's
is going
true.
To be old history. Mm. So, boy, it seems so real, doesn't it?
Well, it seems so recent.
It seems so real. Yeah, it kind of happened, Jamie. It seems so real.
It was
Who'd
damn
have thought
straight
that it was
real.
Just, it was all just special effects done in a lab.
Oh, but you know, suffice to say, there is a lot of conspiracy theorists out there who do believe in their heart of hearts that what happened 13 years ago today was actually manufactured on a soundstage.
Well, the thing that got me about that, and I've seen those films on YouTube that you know where people say, look at the explosions and all that. What gets me is when you see those implosions that people do, you know, like in Vegas, they took down all the casinos and, you know, the big buildings that come down. I have never in my life seen one as perfect as 9/11. I mean, when those towers came down, they both came straight down. I mean, we've both been to New York. You see how big those buildings are. Blocks and blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge, huge buildings. And when you see them come down, they just came straight down. Both of them, some of the buildings around that area weren't even damaged all that much, considering the mass of concrete and everything that came down. I think that if they were imploding the World Trade Towers, if that was his job to do it, that would have been a success.
If you want to call it that.
No, 9/11 aside. What I mean is, if your job was to take down a tower that was, what, 111 stories high or whatever.
It was picture perfect.
It was absolutely picture perfect.
Yeah.
You know, if the thing had fallen and swayed and then wiped out 30, 40 city blocks or something, then the conspiracy theories wouldn't be there.
That's true.
But I
That's
mean,
true.
It just came, both of them, one and then the other. It looked like... I bet you if you took the sound from 9/11, you know, the commentators saying, like, oh my God, it's coming down, and replace it with just one air horn, honk, and then the thing coming down, it would look like one of those contained implosions. That's all I'm saying. And that's why those conspiracy theories were there. I mean,
oh, and that's why they continue to this day.
So back to the original question.
Mm-hmm. Where was I?
I know where you and I were. We were at a meeting, a morning show meeting at Q104 after the show. And as we were having the meeting in J.C. Douglas's office, you say it was Rick Howe that came in. I thought it was Rich Horner that came in. Rick Howe was the news director for C100 and
the CJCH at the time.
Yeah. And Rich Horner was the news director for Q104 and I think Sun FM at the time. Mm. I remember he came into the office and said, like, a plane, like almost like a, by the way, a plane just hit the World Trade Tower. Because of the size of that building, you couldn't tell the magnitude of the crash.
No.
So the first thing that we all thought.
No, light aircraft.
Yeah.
Little Cessna.
Some idiot just banged into the side, you know, and fell down and probably maybe landed on somebody or, you know, tragedy, but not to the scope.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better take a look at this. And so we all got up and walked over to the newsroom and started watching this thing. And boom, the second one hit as we were all staring at the TV.
Just trying to remember if I had done a breaking news at that point or not.
No. Because we didn't realize how big the plane was.
Yeah.
If you remember, the announcers were still saying, like, we're trying to figure out what kind of a plane, but I think that might have been a passenger plane. They were all speculating at the time. And then when that second one came in.
That's when we flew into action.
Well, that's when you flew into action. That's when I froze. I was like the rest of the population. I saw that and I thought, oh my God, this is a terrorist attack. I mean, it just all... It was like somebody switched on a light and all of the reports then came in that, you know, something was happening at the Pentagon and another flight was going here and all these flights were missing. And I watched you fly into action. And that was cool because you're a journalist by trade, you're a King's College graduate in journalism.
Yeah.
And that all kicked in. And you and the rest of the news staff, you were running around, you were having reports on the air, both stations and all of this.
Well,
and
very
I watched
quickly.
you know, fly around me and I ended up just going home. There was nothing that I could do. You guys, you took control and you did a great job.
I mean, and it very quickly turned into a local story for us, because we had 40 passenger jets, 8,000 people that landed at Stanfield International Airport. Right. In fact, today they're doing some special commemorations out at Stanfield International. So, I mean, all of a sudden, it turned into a local emergency because we had 8,000 people that we had to house and feed for knows how long.
They didn't just stay on the planes. No, not only did they land in Halifax, I remember the next day we sent Harv Stewart out to Sackville Sports Stadium, where they were housing a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And that was just one of many, many places. I mean, we threw our doors open.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned Sackville Sports Stadium. Actually, if you go into the sort of the restaurant area where...
restaurant.
Well, I don't know Dairy what they Queen, call it. Isn't it? I don't even know. Is Dairy Queen still there? I can't remember, but it's sort of the area where you can look through the glass and overlook the swimming pool. In that area, there are a number of wall hangings that have the signatures and personal messages from people who were stranded in Halifax during 9/11 and stayed at the Sackville Sports Stadium. And, you know, their messages expressing their gratitude for the hospitality that they received here.
But you remember when the planes were actually landing? I mean, you could look up and you saw all of these planes one after another. It's the type of thing that's a fairly common sight in places like Toronto or New York, where you see planes circling around. There's an actual lineup to land, but not here in Halifax normally.
Yeah, there's a great overhead shot, from the air shot of the planes all lined up on the runway at Stanfield International. And it really puts it into perspective just how many planes ended up here.
The picture is at Stanfield International?
No, I saw it online. It's been published a few times since 9/11.
Let's find it. Let's put it on this podcast.
All right.
If I'm still awake. Taking a NyQuil. Jamie's not feeling too good today.
He's got the man cold.
Yeah, it's starting.
You know what that means.
It's just, you're not going to be able to hear the podcast for the next week to 10 days while I battle this cold.
It means he's got Ebola.
So, what else is in the news? Well,
in happy, happy, joy, joy news, interesting thing that's opened up at Regional Police Headquarters. It is the Halifax Collision Reporting Center. They're just trying to make getting into a car accident a little kinder and gentler. If you're involved in an accident that doesn't require an officer to come to the scene, you can now take your vehicle to the Halifax Collision Reporting Center at Police Headquarters on Gottigen Street.
And dump your vehicle in the slot at the back door.
Exactly. Slide it underneath the door.
With an envelope with your keys in it.
They have staff on hand to help you complete the police collision reports, take photos, measurements of the damage, and all that information is then shot off electronically to insurance companies. So it's kind of neat. This isn't a unique thing. This is actually, dare I say, a franchise. It's a partnership between the Accident Support Services International Limited and Regional Police. So basically, they've bought a franchise and opened it up at Regional Police Headquarters.
Do they serve fries with that?
I don't know, but I'm sure you can probably get yourself a nice cup of coffee while you're taking pictures of your crumpled bumper. The Atlantic Film Festival is gearing up, and the world premiere of Santa Quest is this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Park Lane Cinemas. Now, we talked about this over the summer. Santa Quest features John Dunsworth, and it is his quest to rekindle his faith in Santa and represent Canada at the Santa Winter Games in Sweden. It was his attempt to become the world's best Santa Claus. So John Dunsworth, a.k.a. Mr. Leahy.
And wants to be Santa. I would imagine a lot of padding would be involved. He's not a hefty man.
No, this is true. This is true. But anyway, the world premiere is at the Atlantic Film Festival this Saturday, 2 p.m. at Park Lane Cinemas. So after a zillion years tucked into people's junk drawers in cities from coast to coast here in Canada, Canadian Tire is changing the way they deal with its loyalty program.
Mm-hmm.
Digital rewards are now part of the landscape.
They're not doing Canadian Tire money anymore?
No, they're not backing away from the paper notes.
No?
But the new program will allow customers to gather points for any qualifying purchases in-store, online, or at the gas station. And then those points can be redeemed in exchange for merchandise at the store or gift cards. Canadian Tire is very quick to reassure Canadians it has no plans to phase out the Canadian Tire money, which is, like I said, it's been around since Christ was a cowboy. This is just another way of sort of rewarding their customers. But kind of neat. The points will be registered via a card or an app. And if you don't sign up for the program, you still get the same bills at the store type of thing. And interesting to note, it's been around since 1958, Canadian Tire money, when Muriel Biles, wife of the co-founder of Canadian Tire, pitched the idea. Since then, more than $1 billion worth of bills have been in circulation, and you will find them at every corner bar in the Caribbean.
I went to a little place in Athens where they had all of the money on the wall behind the bar there. And you look up and there's Sandy McTire up there.
Grinning down at you.
Yeah, people think he's the Prime Minister of Canada or something. It's hilarious. Just looking at Sandy McTire online here. Based on no specific individual, but it's assumed he represents a thrifty Scotsman.
Makes sense.
The 1950s everyman of blue-collar Canada. That's what we all looked like back in the 1950s.
Interesting.
And I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here, if I can.
Oh, okay.
You know, all of these other nationalities and ethnicities are saying, I hate this stereotype. Don't treat me like that. Don't. Well, as a Scotsman, I am sick and tired of the angry, thrifty Scotsman who's there trying to pinch a penny. I'm very serious. It's all fun and games when you make fun of a Scotsman, but yet you make fun of any other culture. Well, how come being thrifty and angry and drunk is perfectly fine if you're a Scotsman?
Well, listen, they may have no choice. Thrifty, angry, and drunk. I mean, isn't Scotland voting next week to separate from the rest of the UK?
Don't take them seriously. They're all thrifty, angry, and drunk. Hey, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying you should.
Tired of the stereotype.
Exactly. There are a lot of stereotypes that are true, but it's perfectly fine to say, you know, a Scotsman is penny pinching and drunk and, you know, angry. Just a small rant from a sick man. Mm. What's next?
Well, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant myself.
All right.
And this one is directed at Halifax Water. Now, about 3 weeks ago, we got a letter in the mail from Halifax Water addressed specifically to us with our account number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it indicated that when they recently read our water meter, it indicated that we had used more water than historically we had in the past.
Yes.
Now, it turns out it wasn't just us who received this letter. There were a number of people on our street who received the same said letter. Well, it turns out, I have a feeling anyway, that letter was just a setup for the big honkin' water bill that arrived in the mailbox yesterday. Now, the letter that we got 3 weeks ago sort of indicated, you know, there may be some steps you can take to reduce your water usage.
Perhaps your hot water tank is leaking.
Perhaps you have a toilet that's leaking.
Perhaps you have a teenager that likes to take long showers.
Or perhaps you have a husband that waters the garden and leaves the hose on all night.
But I did that last year, too, with the old bill, so you can't blame me.
It doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there, because I think the whole letter was a setup. We got our water bill in the mail day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
$355. It's about double what it normally is. And then up in the upper left-hand corner, it says, it indicates that water rates increased on April 1st. And this bill that you are receiving right now is or has been prorated and backdated to April 1st. So we're paying the new rates for water as of April 1st. It was just reflected on this bill. So I have a feeling that that letter they sent us 3 weeks ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it was all just a setup and...
Or maybe there's a big leak in our entire neighborhood's water pipe that brings water to our neighborhood. If everybody on our street got this letter saying...
Well, no, that wouldn't have appeared it wouldn't appear on our individual meters because that...
You're right.
Yeah, that indicates the water that comes directly to the house.
Interesting. How can we investigate this? You're a journalist.
I'm going to look into this because I think it's bullshit.
Ooh, she's angry.
Well, I think it's just an absolute setup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that Regional Council is sort of now casting an eye to Halifax Water and thinking perhaps they shouldn't be as at arm's length of the government as they are. And
very interesting. I think they were counting on neighborhoods that aren't quite as close as ours because this is a very close neighborhood. We discuss things like our water bills and things like that. I want to see, show of hands, how many people know how much your neighbor is paying for their water bill compared to what you're paying? Mm. Might be an interesting idea for everybody to check, especially if yours has gone up. If you receive one of those little letters saying that, you know, it's an unusually high rate of water consumption at your place, check it out. Make sure that you're not the only person in the neighborhood that got that, because it might be a bit of a, would you call it a scam?
Shenanigans going on. Yeah, pulling the wool over our eyes. Because, I mean, we've been customers for...
ever. All my life. I'm addicted to the stuff,
Huge advocate of water over here as well. Yeah, you're right. I might venture a guess and say I'm addicted as well. But no, Halifax Water, what do you want to say? 6 years we've been on the grid, as they say. I mean, we had well water before that, so...
No, but before that, I was on the grid before I moved into your backwards house with well water.
But, I mean, this is the first summer that we have ever received a letter about water usage. And we have watered our grass every summer, unless there was a water ban.
Yeah, wasn't it Halifax Water that was charging everybody the ditch tax, too, for the...
Yes, it was.
And people are saying, excuse me, how come I have to pay you ditch tax when I don't even use your services?
And I do believe that was repealed. They legally couldn't...
A case-by-case basis, they're looking over it. But they just put a big blanket bill out to all of these people, and then it was up to the people to argue it, to bring their case to Halifax Water and have them repeal it.
That's since been reversed.
Yeah, to me, I think that's a bit...
It all sounds a bit shady over at Halifax Water.
Watch our water get cut off now after this podcast. So I don't know when I'm going to have this edited or actually uploaded onto the internet. Really sorry if it's a bit late, but quite frankly, the old man cold is...
kicking him to the curb. I'm going to feed him some NyQuil and send him to bed.
So when I come out of my coma, hopefully I'm feeling better, and we'll be back again on Friday.
Until then.